Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in Galatians. I preached this last year. That is not this message. I use this text. How many people know you can get more than one message out of the text of the Bible? Galatians chapter number 6, and I'm going to read one verse at the end of it. And so I know I've got it marked in my Bible that a year ago in April, I preached out of this passage. Probably used this same title. But this is a keep your coat on kind of Sunday morning right here. That's what this is. Now, if you get all fired up, sling my coat off, and then that's just how it'll go. But right now, it feels like I keep your coat on. I've done it years ago. First time I ever took my coat off, I went crazy. I flung my coat off and got up in the furniture. I scared myself and about two-thirds of the people that's in there. My wife said, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "I don't know. It's like letting a dog off a chain." I said, "Next time I preach, I'm taking my coat off again." Junior Gardner told me for years, "Don't take your coat off, boy. Don't take your coat off." I said, "Well, it's better with the coat off." But today, it's a keep your coat on kind of day. It keeps me settled in where I want to be. And I think I'm satisfied. I've got some things to show you in the scripture. You're going to need your Bibles today. Is that okay? It's okay if I preach out of the Bible, isn't it? Verse 17 of Galatians chapter number 6. Have you found that? Shout amen. Amen. From henceforth, Paul said, from now on. And this is some years, I'll get in trouble trying to date some, 8-9 years before Paul's going to die, somewhere in there. Might have been a decade, but I doubt he's that far. But from henceforth, let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the day that one day I will. Praise God. We thank you for the spirit we felt this morning. Lord, it began when Sister Jewel sat down at the piano. And God, we felt you in the prayer room and in the Sunday school and now through the worship service. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd be with me through the reading and God, maybe the teaching or preaching of the Word of God today, however you should send it. I pray you'd fill my mouth as I ask you every time and guard my tongue. And help me be accurate in the scripture, Lord. For it, all that matters is what thus saith the Lord. We know that and understand. Maybe there's a lost soul in this house and a number this size, most likely. Statistically, someone here is unsaved. Save somebody, Lord. God, the saint of God, refresh thee. Remind us, Lord, of what it is we can expect in this life. And then, Lord, what we can expect after life. We thank you for Sister Jane being with us today. What a blessing. And her family. And all of Newton's family. God, he's where I'm coming. So, Lord, use us for a little while today. I'll praise you for what you do. And I ask it in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. And I might want to take the title out of that, if I may, just right off the page here on marks of the Lord. Marks of the Lord. Now, to get this in context here, the Galatians is a mixed up bunch of people. They're wanting to interject law and deeds with salvation. Can I tell you, the deed's been done on Calvary. Amen. Apart from Calvary, there is no salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And the salvation has come from the Jew first, but also to the Greek, praise God. So they were wanting to mingle with this. They weren't really Greeks, they were Gauls. And they're wanting to interject, add to a little bit, try to make it, they want to make themselves look good in being religious. The idea here is that we got to understand this as Christians. We don't look good. No, we put on a Sunday best. I commend you for doing that. Respect in the house of God. Many places, respect for the house of God left out on the curbs, as it were. Hey, and I appreciate you doing that. And we come in here, we do our best. We paint up, spray our hair down, brush our teeth, shine our shoes. God, I didn't know in military service God was getting me ready to preach, but my gig line straight this morning now. You tell me, I don't know what that means, but some of you do. And we have all these things, we do all these things, but it's not about how good we are at what we do. Because we can be good till kingdom come, but without Christ, friend, it's all of naught. On Christ, the solid rock I'll stand, hey, all other things are sinking sand. So it is in him. They missed that. They wanted to add to. Prior to this, Paul said, hey, you want to circumcise some people so you can brag on them, say, I got that done for him. I took care of him. Want to boast in the people, the things of the flesh. He said, it's not that. So he closes this letter out, and he says this, hey, from now on, let no man trouble me. And the reason, Roland, that he couldn't be troubled is because of what he bore in his body. He had things in his body that those other elites of the religious crowd didn't have. Paul was marked from one end to the other. The Romans had scourged him. He'd been beaten of the Jews. They'd stoned him to death at Lystra, and he got back up. Some don't think he was dead. I'm satisfied when I get there and ask him if I think about that. Were you dead at Lystra or not? Did he resurrect you when he called you up into the third heaven, somewhere in that area? I'll not remember that. But he was marked. He had literal stigmata, is what this word mark means. It means, praise God, when you look, you see. And it's what they would do to slaves. They'd take slaves, and much like they'd brand them, or they'd put their mark on them, and that identified them as belonging to that particular person for the rest of their days, unless he was the Savior released. So they bore the mark. Paul said, I'm doing that for Jesus. I'm a prisoner. He was a slave to Christ. He was a slave for Jesus. A slave does whatsoever they're commanded to do. If the slave doesn't do what they're commanded to do, there's great repercussion for not doing what the master of the slave says to do. Brother Donnie talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. They some that started out real good, but can't find another FBI, can't run them back. You wonder where they're at. What happened to them? One guy, every time he sees Randy, he said, you still preaching? He said, was I supposed to quit?
That's
right, bro. So it is the mentality or the philosophy of our modern day culture that it's okay. It just started. If it don't work out, throw in the towel. No worse for the wear. That's the Gauls. That's the Galatians. Paul said, if you want the law, you've fallen from grace. Let me tell you, grace is better than the law. Because, by the law is the knowledge of sin. It reveals our sin. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You tell me which one's better, the one that shows it to you or the one that takes it away from you? Still with me? So Paul said, I've got the marks on me. Can I tell you, as Christians today, now this hasn't happened in America as of yet. Well, in some areas it might have, but not to us. The place that they literally, not figuratively, but literally mark us for being Christians. Should God tarry his coming, there's a good possibility that could transpire. I want us to consider some marks today of the modern day Christian. Number one, Christians today are marked by this. We're marked by our affliction. Now, Paul had been afflicted greatly more than anybody that I ever read after. As far, I think Paul's the number two preacher behind Jesus. Now, some agree, some disagree. But I believe he's the number two preacher. Jesus, number one. Paul, number two. And then the Jews didn't care for Paul. Even today, when Barry came here, his greatest concern was he had a problem with Paul. They had a problem with him, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So we have this affliction. I want you to take your Bible and go to Philippians. That's just a couple pages over. 3 pages, 4 pages, 5 pages. 1 and verse number 29. Said, and by the way, when Paul's writing Philippians, where's he at, class?
Prison.
Thank you. A plus. Paul's in prison. He's writing this. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, because of, not only to believe on him, but also suffer for his sake. Now, this cotton candy Christianity that's being preached across America today, name it and claim it, no conviction, no moral change, no attitude change, none of this. You follow Christ, you'll never have no problems. That's not true. Paul's very plain here, on behalf of Christ, for the cause of Christ, listen, you're going to be afflicted. There's some suffering coming your way. You're not going to get anybody saved like that. That's the only way to get them saved. Because when they get broke down enough and see. You know what Moses done? Let me get him out of the ark and on the mountain. But Moses chose. He chose to suffer with his children. With the children of Israel rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, he could have stayed in the king's house, Pharaoh's house. He could have had the best meat. He could have had the best women. He could have had anything he beckoned or asked for. He could have had the riches, the cattle, the herds, all those things, Brother Roland. He winds up saying, hey, I'm going to the Hebrew. And he suffered affliction. If you come, listen. If you call and come to Christ, you'll suffer persecution in this world. No way around it. These guys that have no persecution put on them. When they're flying around and going coast to coast and all these places without any affliction on them whatsoever, I'm very leery of them. Paul's pretty plain right here. He said, on behalf of Christ, because of, here's what you're going to do. On behalf of him, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know what that means? That means when you take a stand for Christ, there's going to be those that won't like you. You won't believe this. People don't like me. I'm shocked, Dennis. I'm shocked. I've done everything I know to be kind, considerate, not talk ugly to them, tell them their baby's pretty, forgive me, Lord. Not all babies are pretty, but they're all nice. You know what I say about babies? Don't you? That's a nice baby.
Yeah.
Sweet. And I might be wrong, too. All those things, don't like it. I heard Jeff Gordon say this one time after a race. All he said was, some of you know who that guy is. All Gordon said was, praise the Lord. That's all he said. There was a guy with me, heard him say that. He said, I can't stand that guy. I said, what did he ever do to you? I don't know, but I just don't like him. Wouldn't have something to do with what he just said, would it? Paul's saying here that if you're marked, we are marked by affliction. So what does that mean? That means I'm supposed to have. We can expect it to come.
Yep.
And the purpose is that it identifies us, my brother, as one of his.
Lord.
If I weren't having no trouble this morning, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah.
Say, well, you've had not as much trouble as I have, then you may be in better shape spiritually than I am. Because affliction marks the Christian. Still with me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to hurry. Not trying too hard, but I am. Philippians 3:10. Oh, let's turn back. And turning back. We're turning back. 3:10. About two pages over. I wish Junior Swafford was here today. This is one of his all-time favorite verses. I've heard him quote this at least 20 times and probably more, but he's a little under the weather. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What's he saying? He's saying that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. How am I going to know that? Through the fellowship of sufferings. That's how I know. I'm going to tell you, you may want to skip a lot of things, but you don't want to miss the resurrection of the righteous, the remnant. Are you still here? Let's go real quick to James. Now, it's way on over. Let's go to verse number 9. And I was preparing for this message, and here McManus used this morning. So I'm going to use the same verse he used if you watched him. When I heard him say, I said, praise God, I run in Eric's kitchen, wrote it down. I said, got to use that today. Four. And number eight, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know what that does? That puts the ball in our court. Can I ask you a question? If God's everywhere, if I ascend to the heaven, he is there. If I made my bed in hell, he is
there.
If he's here and there and everywhere, he don't have to move. Cal Ray said one time, the next move is yours. You move. What do? I draw nigh to him. And when I draw nigh, he's already there. He's in my tomorrow. He was in my yesterday. Oh, but be afflicted. What? And mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why would we do that? Because here's what it produces. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. The affliction marks us, but the lifting is of the Lord. And he shows who he is. Afflictions mark us, but afflictions do this. Afflictions requires an action. When affliction comes, there's one of two actions that's going to be in the life of the Christian. We're either going to receive it or we're going to reject it. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean when we reject the affliction? When we get in the wrong spirit.
Right. Yes, sir.
We get in the wrong spirit. We're not thinking on these things whatsoever is true, just, pure, or be any virtue. We're not pleasant. We're not thinking on those things.
Right.
Our mind has gone somewhere else. Here. I know I've learned. Why is this happening to me? Maybe he's marking you. And when he marks you, these marks Paul had were visible. Our affliction to those around us are visible afflictions. They see when you're hurting. They know when you're down. They know when somebody's died that you love. And you know what? Praise God. Doug Newton's funeral and here's Jane in church today. I've seen her affliction. And I see her humble and the Lord lifting her up in the house of God. That's what the action of affliction. It requires that. We receive it or we reject it. We reject it, we get in the wrong spirit. In the bad place. Hard to overcome it. Hard to overcome it. Don't blame God for nothing. Don't blame him for nothing. People say, I'm mad at God. You better straighten up. Why'd God do this to me? Let's learn where the good stuff comes from. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's understand where the good stuff comes from, and let's understand what the devil does. Steal, kill, and destroy. So let's blame the right one. Let's get mad at the devil when things are going bad. Let's rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
We are all in the flesh, and this body's got to die. It's appointed unto man wants to die. He saved my soul, not my body.
Amen.
Body's got to die. I'm in a deteriorating state right now.
Yeah.
Till about 35, my sales was going. I woke up one morning at 40, and my sales was going. I woke up at 60 and I said, where's the sales? Ain't heard from one in a long time. place of this. We are in a state. We are digressing. But he wants to lift us up.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to Philippians 3:14. Wearing your pages out, aren't you? 3:14. I'm turning with you. Now listen, I want you to get this. Here's the action. Here's the action. Afflictions mark us, but our actions mark us as well. Our actions mark us. I remember when we buried Freddie. Come Sunday morning, the door opened. Miranda walked in, sat down, and started playing piano. Action after affliction. Paul said, after he wanted to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that means he was joined with that. He was participating in his sufferings. Here's what he said. Here's why. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That is the action that we press, we pursue that thing of God. You know what? Everybody sees you do that. I'm not boasting to myself. Jim McComas said this, so I'll just tell you what Jim said. After the fire, Wednesday night service come. John had called me that morning over at Trent's. After the fire, it came Wednesday night. And I debated because Comas was here. I had a host of other preachers I could have called on. But God gave me a word. It gave me a word. And I got up and preached, and there's a young man saved that night. Brother Stubbs, some of them boys, John and them, brought this guy. Harold, I don't know, Jason might have been with him. That boy's here. Former dope addict sitting there, nervous. Got up and got saved right there. It was the action after the affliction.
Wow. That's good.
And everybody's watching.
Right.
Now, one more and I'm done. I've got 5 to 12. I can preach this in 5 minutes. So we know the pressing, the pursuing. It's the action. After the affliction marks us. Our actions mark us. They mark you. Now, 1 John 2 and 28. That's in the New Testament. Just being sure. 1 John 2 and 28. Now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So it's not only the afflictions that mark us and our actions after affliction, but one of these days it will be our appearance. Stay with me. Not appearance as in our daily attire or how we look. Bearded, unbearded, colored hair, uncolored, short, tall, wide, narrow, whatever. Not that appearance.
No,
but appearance before him. The Bible's very plain that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, does that mark us? Is that a mark of the Lord? Oh, yeah, because only those that belong to him is going to be at his judgment seat. If you're the one making it to the great white throne judgment, too late. Too late. too late. Now there is a mark coming post-rapture. It is not a mark of the Christ, it's the mark of the Antichrist. And there seems to be some disagreement as to what transpires out there or when that will be. All I know, I'll tell you what I know. Well, I'll tell you what the book says. The book said, if you take that mark, you're damned. You're done. The lake of fire will be your eternal estate if you take that mark. Say, well, we're not going to have opportunity to take that mark if he's going to snatch the church up out of here. But there will be others that will, and I can prove it, because he said these are they that didn't take the mark. They paid with their head. They were martyred for the cause of Christ. That's the ultimate mark. Now, you're already toward the back of the book. So if you're here today and you're unsaved, and the church gets snatched out this afternoon, not everybody believes that. We're going to find out. If I'm wrong, after that happens, I'll confess it. Some of you got that. Some of you still thinking about it. And then it comes up, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, which means not only opposed, but instead of. He's not only opposed to Christ, but he's instead of Christ, Antichrist. And you have that, and that guy shows up, and his false peace takes place. And I watched a very interesting video on building the temple this morning about 6 o'clock. It's real interesting. Some of their speculation to how this is going to transpire. But I know it's going to happen because the book said it. And he show up, and they offer that mark to everybody. Let them cut your head off instead of taking it. It's the only way you're going to escape. I'm just going to tell you, it'd be a lot easier to get saved now and not worry about that, would it? I just don't see the reason in there now. There's another mark. Revelation chapter number 3. Some of you already turned there. You know where I'm going. Now he's talking to the church within the church right here. Jesus is speaking of Philadelphia. I agree with other old writers. I learned this from them. That each one of these churches represent a period of time historically. Up to this point, I think absolutely we're in Laodicea right now. Rich, increased with goods, we don't have need of nothing. But there's a little bit of each one of these churches and all churches through all ages. Philadelphia. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Now, I'm not condemning you here today. If you're tattooed, I never would get one. But I'm going to have one. I'm going to get a mark. If that book's true and what he just said is true, and it's true, you know what he's going to write on me? The only thing ever been written on me is going to be his name and the name of the city. That's the last mark. You know who that's for? The saved. The redeemed. The remnant. those that be in Christ.
Right. Yes.
Those born again, blood-bought, serving. We don't serve to be saved. We serve because we are saved. Amen. Serving. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these other things be added to you. What marks you today? Don't be upset if it's affliction. That marks us as Christians. The affliction requires an action. The action leads later to the appearance of us before Him. He won't see the visible. Listen, as of right now, I don't have any visible marks or scars that I've obtained for the cause of Christ. I got some on my heart, but He knows that. But the time might come. Like, well, I don't know about that. You tell that Jewish friend of mine that got drug out of his car at one of them Palestinian protests in the middle of one of our metropolitan areas, and they thumped him real good. He's got some marks on him. Now, I don't know he's messianic, but he got thumped just because. How far away is that from Crossville, Tennessee? One of these days, He's going to mark me Himself. Permanent mark. Forever. And ever. And ever. He bears marks. Are you His today? If you died right now, is heaven your home forever? Do you know it? That you can't know. I know it. I know it right now. I know, should I fall over on this green carpet, don't do no mouth to mouth. Leave the paddle defibrillator in there on the bookshelf. Call CMC and come and get this piece of clay. He's through with it. He's not here anymore. Do you know that? You need to know that more than you know you're going home this afternoon. You may never make it to the house. Stand to your feet. Bow your heads all over the house of God. Sister Brenda's going to play song. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.